chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, what is going on, guys? Farzine Vasugian here with you for another episode of the Chiefs Zone Podcast. It is draft week, yes. The draft is here. The draft week, I guess. The hype, all of that stuff. It is finally here. A lot of conversation surrounding the draft will take place starting on this podcast. But before we get into the draft, a lot of news to get into. In fact, some breaking news less than an hour ago. The Kansas City Chiefs have extended their front office, head coach Andy Reid sticking around. Brett Veach is going to be sticking around. Mark Donovan will stay. Boy, it's a pretty good day to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan, especially with Andy Reid. He'll be staying through 2029. That is what his contract reads. So we'll be talking about that. And let's talk about that for a moment later on with the Chiefs, because that's not the only guy they extended this offseason. A couple other key guys on that franchise they extended. We'll get into that shortly. Tyreek Hill made the news. He was on a podcast and he said he feels disrespected by the Kansas City Chiefs. Why? We'll explain why later on. Also, the Broncos made headlines today, revealing new jerseys, and then they traded for a quarterback, Zach Wilson. They went from one Wilson to a whole new terrible Wilson. That is going to be a very interesting season for the Denver Broncos. So we'll be getting into that. And then, of course, we'll be talking about the NFL draft. And I'm not alone on this episode. I'll be introducing a couple of co-hosts here. Before we do that, I want to let you know this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Baseball season underway. The NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs underway as well. And if you guys want to check out some of the action, go to SeatGeek.com. And if you're a new SeatGeek customer, you can use my promo code Farzine for $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com, pick your tickets, and if you're a new customer, enter the promo code Farzine and you will save $20 off your first event from SeatGeek. All right, let's bring in my co-host for this episode. You guys have heard him many times on this podcast, Zach Segna. Zach, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me back on.
Appreciate you coming on again. And also from KCML, Mark Van Sickle here. Mark, what's going on, dude?
What's happening? Thanks for having me on. I love your shirt for those watching.
Oh, yeah.
We're twinning.
Oh, we missed the memo.
Sorry.
We're all wearing red, so it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, yours is hoodie form. Mine is just a regular t-shirt, so shout out to Homage for the shirt.
Yes.
But let's get right into it, guys, because we have a lot of things to get into. I seriously just wanted to like do a 30-minute podcast and talk draft with you guys. But instead, all kinds of things happened today, including within the last hour, the breaking news with head coach Andy Reid getting an extension, as well as the rest of the key members of the front office staff, Brett Veach and Mark Donovan. Let me just put out these key stats right here about Andy Reid, because he's obviously been with the team since 2013. And, you know, during this stretch, it's been really roses and rainbows. Now, early on, I mean, yeah, you had some postseason heartbreaks and whatnot, but think about where the Chiefs were before Andy Reid, that little seven-year stretch between 2007 and 2012, where they only had one winning season, and that was in 2010, where they won the AFC West. And, you know, it just wasn't pretty after that. Let's just call it that. Let's just put it that way. But then Andy Reid comes in, and a lot of people were very excited, and the idea of, you know, the Chiefs, can they be a more competitive team? They went from a 2-14 season to starting 9-0 in 2013, and the Chiefs essentially never really turned back after that, because in the 11 seasons Andy Reid's been in Kansas City, they finished above 500 all 11 years, and they've made the playoffs 10 of those 11 years. The one year they didn't make it fell just a tiny bit short in the end there, but still a season above 500 nonetheless. The Chiefs, ever since they named Brett Veach the GM in 2017, The Chiefs have a record of 134, and that includes postseason games. Obviously, the best in the NFL. The second best is the Buffalo Bills, and it's not even close. Andy Reid already has the highest win percentage in Chiefs history, and you went back-to-back. You've won 3 in 5 years, and you're trying to compete and basically do something that's never been done before, which is three-peat. Zach, I'll start with you. When you hear all of that and knowing that you've got Big Red for 6 more years in his contract, how do you feel about that?
I mean, look, it just means that, you know, he's there for the entirety of pretty much the prime of Mahomes' career, which, you know, it's one of the things that as Chiefs fans, we've all kind of thought might happen. But let's be honest, you know, the way that this has gone so far, Andy Reid's going down as the winningest head coach in NFL history, and it's not going to be close. Like, that feels ridiculous to say, or like it should feel more ridiculous than it is. But when you really do the math, it's like, well, yeah, of course that's going to happen.
I need to pull this up because I saw Matt Derrick tweet this, but I didn't really look into that. So Andy Reid right now has 284 wins. Let me just make sure this is up to date. Yes, 284. Halas has 324. Belichick has 333, and Shula has 347. So if he does stick around all 6 years, and listen, you guys all know how contracts work. Sometimes they retire sooner than expected, but if he does stick around for the entirety of that 6 years in his deal, there's a very good chance he passes Don Shula, Mark.
Oh, yeah. He's going to average, I mean, what, he averages 13 wins a game with Mahomes right now? Is that about right? I haven't done the math. They added an extra game since Mahomes became the starter. I'm not great at math. But, I mean, with Mahomes at quarterback, I know that the league gets tougher every year and everything like that, but the Chiefs keep winning the AFC West. They keep getting back to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, Andy Reid's, I'm going to say it, the best to ever do it. I know Belichick just retired. Nobody's trying to hire him right now. Reid, when he got out of Philly, he was one of the hottest coaching candidates out there. I know their age is a little different now, but I mean, Andy Reid is going to go down as the greatest coach of all time. I'm saying it right now on your podcast.
I think the most important thing to keep, Belichick's the GOAT. He's got 6 rings. And I know this whole conversation, oh, who was the key guy, Belichick or Brady? And obviously, you know, people, you know, kind of ended that conversation when Brady won without Belichick. But let me just say this. Colin Cowherd made a big point about this on his show during the season. It's the fact that Belichick has never been a good head coach until he had Tom Brady. Yeah, he's had a couple flashes here and there in New England briefly after Tom Brady, and then a little bit in Cleveland. But Andy Reid has been successful for a very long time. He's gone to the playoffs with Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, Alex Smith. Like, even before Mahomes, he's had a lot of success. It's just he never had the big success until he got Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, I think people are already looking at that, and people kind of wonder too, like, would he retire anytime soon? And if he retires soon, would he just, you know, how would we compare him to Belichick? But I think now with this contract extension, you can kind of look at the whole GOAT conversation between Reid and Belichick, and there's a really good shot. By the way, I have to bring this up because we're talking about Mike, the whole like retiring soon. Mike Florio, who has this massive obsession with reporting that Andy Reid was going to retire. Look, I thought Andy Reid was going to retire soon, but I'm also not this massive journalist who has all these inside sources. Dude, I don't know what sources he gets from allegedly, but you got to find some better reporting skills because none of this aged well whatsoever. But we can leave it at that there. The point is, though, I think a lot of people are still surprised that Andy Reid's going to continue coaching for 6 more seasons. And by the way, this is a really bad day for the wait till Mahomes plays without Andy Reid crowd. And Zach, you kind of alluded to this already. I don't know if it was Mark who said this. Mahomes, as he's entering essentially the prime of his career, is going to continue to have the best coach in the NFL.
Yeah, and since, I found the numbers, Mark. They're averaging 12.5 wins a season since Mahomes has been the starter for
Andy Reid. That's awesome.
That's 75 wins in six seasons. And if they continue just on that pace for the next six, then he does beat Shula. He needs 70 to beat Shula, 60 to beat Halas, and then only 44 for Belichick. So that should happen.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, and easy.
The Belichick one is basically settled at this point, because I don't think Belichick coaches again unless you know, Jerry Jones decides, hey, you know, Mike McCarthy's a lame duck. Let's do that again. That'll be fun. We'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll go all in.
We didn't even mention if Andy Reid wins another Super Bowl this upcoming season. That'll be the first time any coach has ever won three Super Bowls in back-to-back-to-back seasons. So that's another feather in Andy Reid's cap.
Yeah, and
yeah, I think that it's going to not really be much of a debate by the time it's all said and done.
I think one thing to keep in mind about Andy Reid is that he's found a way to get players to play above their potential. Look at 2013, for example. Alex Smith comes in that trade, and people kind of wondered, is Alex Smith going to be good? And I know he had a ceiling, which is why the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes eventually, but look at Alex Smith's numbers before Kansas City, and look at the stats he had as a Chief with Andy Reid. Alex Smith was a much more complete quarterback. Same with Mike Vick. Mike Vick was just known to run the ball so much in Atlanta. But then when he had Andy Reid to work with, Mike Vick was a more complete quarterback. Here's another really good example. Look at Jamal Charles, who was already a great running back before Andy Reid. Andy Reid comes in. Jamal Charles is just one of the more dominant players. In fact, Jamal Charles led the NFL in total touchdowns in 2013. So Andy Reid just has a really good way of finding players to play essentially above their potential, which is why I always get very excited when Andy Reid brings in a player that does have potential, but maybe their career just hasn't panned out the way they would have liked for it to or expected so far. Because Andy Reid can find, and again, it doesn't always work. Like Le'Veon Bell is a good example of that. LeSean McCoy, another one as well. Doesn't always work out, but 9 times out of 10, Andy Reid just finds a way to bring in the players. And Brett Veach deserves some credit as well. And they find a way to win a lot of football games with these guys that a lot of people don't feel the need to get.
If Jamal Charles hadn't got hurt in that game against the Colts, they would have beat the Colts. I still say that to this day in that whatever the epic meltdown was game. We don't need to talk about that. But that was just one of those seasons that I do think that the Chiefs could have gone far if Jamal Charles hadn't got hurt.
Yeah, but I mean, with a big lead, I don't know. You still should not have given up.
I also that just game. Think that, you know, you paired Jamal and Andy for Jamal's whole career. I mean, he's a way better version of Shady McCoy. Hey,
look at Dexter McCluster.
Records that man would have set, my goodness.
Dexter McCluster, we got all this hype about Dexter McCluster in 2010 when he got drafted, but we never really saw him excel as an offensive player or even as a special teams player. And then when he plays that one season under Andy Reid, McCluster actually looked like a good wide receiver under Andy Reid, which is unfortunate because he only played one season with Reid and he moved on to Tennessee. But it's just always interesting. Like, and I don't know when this is going to happen, but the 30 for 30 on Andy and all these other, you know, football life, all these things on Andy Reid is going to be interesting because the opportunities, the second chances he's given to certain players, the trust he has in a lot of these players, it's a really interesting story, and I'm very curious to see it. But my point is, it's just he always finds a way with these players to get them to play better, which is good to see.
It helps have really good ones too.
Yeah, for sure. And again, look at like Isaiah Pacheco, drafted in the 7th round, and you heard it during his rookie season. The announcers eventually just kept saying, how did he fall to the 7th? They almost went undrafted. They extend Andy Reid. They extend Brett Veach, Mark Donovan. Those are not the only guys they extended. Obviously, the big news earlier this offseason for the Chiefs was re-signing Chris Jones to a 5-year deal. But even before that, 3 days after Super Bowl 58, winning Super Bowl 58, they extended Steve Spagnuolo to a new 3-year deal. And obviously Spags just had arguably the best season he's had as a defensive coordinator with all the great things the Chiefs defense did during the season. So, man, this Chiefs team is locked in. You got a lot of your key players sticking around. Again, your three core guys, being Mahomes, Kelce, and Jones, your main guys in your front office and coaching staff, Brett Veach, and all the things that he's done over the past few years. Andy Reid, obviously, we just talked about. And then Spagnuolo. And it just feels like Spags has been getting better and better as a defensive coordinator during his time in Kansas City. All the three Super Bowls you've won have included all of these guys that I've mentioned. So it's a really exciting time. It's a really good day to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan when you hear that you're keeping all of your core guys and they're going to be here a very long time.
Not only that, you see teams in the division making moves like Zach Wilson being the quarterback of the Broncos, or maybe backup or third string. I don't know what they're going to do there, but
that's going to be fighting with Jarrett Stidham is what he's going to do.
It just makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. The Chiefs are doing all these great things, and then the Broncos continue to just be laughing stocks.
Honestly, it's getting to the point where, like, I'm almost feeling bad for him, which is weird to say. Like,
yeah, as a long-term honestly, Chiefs
fan, like, yo.
Me too, yeah, Zach.
Like, I'm genuinely starting to pity them.
Here's my thing. Chris Harris, who, you know, rock chalk, went to KU, and he's had a phenomenal career, went from undrafted to becoming underrated to being one of the best at his position for a little bit. But here's something that he said on in a radio interview. He said that the Broncos are in a 3 to 5 year rebuilding phase. I'm like, really? Like, listen, we know how 90% of the teams are going to be this year. But 3 to 5, like, listen, we don't even know what's going to happen in 2 years. But with Denver, I don't know, man. Like, I'm starting to kind of believe what he's saying now. I think Denver is a team. Like, if you live in Denver, you're probably more focused on the Colorado Avalanche right now and their playoff run. I don't follow baseball. I don't know if the Rockies are good or what. The Nuggets, I mean,
they are trash.
The Nuggets, okay, well, at least they have the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets look like they're going back to back. I don't know who's going to beat them in a 4-game series, but that's a topic for another time. If you're in Denver, you're focusing on those two teams right now, the Avalanche and the Nuggets, because the Broncos, they just don't look a competitive football team. Obviously all 32 teams, their goal is to win. But if I have to listen to John Elway say that the goal is to win this year, I can't look at him and have a straight face hearing that. It's just like, What strategy do you have with this unit right here? Because there's already rumors, by the way, that they might even trade up to get a quarterback, which, okay, I mean, listen, we have a lot of rumors flying around this
Please.
Week. I mean, me too, man. Please, I hope it happens. I don't know. It's just a really weird situation for Denver to be. Look, you're paying Russell Wilson $40 million to not play for you, and your potential alternative is another Wilson, and he's worse.
He's a cheaper Wilson.
There's a reason why.
Something.
If they trade up to get a rookie quarterback, which they could try to get a, I don't know, JJ McCarthy would be kind of funny. I would like to see that. But, like, if they do that again, then they'll lose their next year's first round pick. So then this whole rebuilding thing gets even tougher for them over the next 3 to 5 years. They already don't have a second round pick this year. So it's like, how are they going to rebuild if they don't have draft picks? I guess they just hope that they hit on their quarterback, but I mean, that's going to be tough no matter what.
I mean, that is one of the things that, like, don't get me wrong. Nothing but respect for Sean Payton as a coach, minus the whole, you know,
Bounty gate
thing, but we won't worry about that bit. I almost said Deflategate, and I knew that wasn't it. But
it's one of the gates.
If there's one thing that dude is just an absolute train wreck at, it is cap management. The Saints are still in cap hell, and they seem to just, like, they've just taken up residency there, and they're like, "Yep, this is us now." And based on what I'm seeing with the Broncos, I mean, they're eating, like, I think $35 million in dead money this year on Russell Wilson, and they have to do it again next year for, I want to say, like, 50. I'm not even joking. It's a sad, sad state of affairs. Like, there's just nothing they could really do. They were just cooked. And, yeah, for it to be that bad that you move on from that guy with that sort of a price tag, like, it's insane to me. And watch, he'll end up making the playoffs with the Steelers. It'll be hilarious.
With Russell Wilson or with Justin Fields? Which one?
Russell Wilson.
Okay. Just wanted to get that out there.
That's a good question. I sort of believe in Justin Fields.
Yeah. Either one, because Mike Tomlin is always going to be around 500 and be able to get a wild card spot.
And let's be honest, Russell Wilson with a good rushing attack, that tends to squeak into the wild card round of the playoffs. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
Steelers at Chiefs in, 7-2, or maybe at Chiefs will get the one seed. Never mind.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're Denver, I guess you're just hoping that maybe you can find like a Brock Purdy or a Tom Brady type of player in the later rounds. But, you know, those are so rare, far and few in between. I just don't know. Like, if you're Denver, what do you tell your players on day one? Like, how do you realistically get them to buy in? I don't know. But, man, if you're a Chiefs fan, you got
to
feel pretty
good. Welcome to the Oakland days of the NFL.
Here's my thing. I know a lot of people constantly say, the Chiefs are in an easy division. Wait till you hear the competition Tom Brady had in the AFC East. Outside of two seasons where the Jets looked like Super Bowl contenders, it's always been New England running the AFC East with ease. Okay, I don't know why it's such an issue now that Patrick Mahomes has essentially the same level of competition in a division, but I digress. Did you guys want to say anything else?
Fascinating to see how. Oh, just to that point there on the the ease of the division, so to speak. I mean, yeah, the Broncos seem like they're going to be that, but you know, the Chargers could be something decent, maybe, if they don't let Greg Roman ruin Justin Herbert. We'll see how that goes. You know, the architect of the Lamar Jackson rushing offense, running with Justin Herbert. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, everybody retooled and rehauled their teams. And remember, the Chiefs were going to get dethroned by, I think,
the Chargers.
The Chargers, but I think there was even people picking the Broncos and the Raiders in some circles.
2 years ago, we thought Russell Wilson was actually going to work in Denver. We thought they were a quarterback away, and turns out that was just a dumpster fire to end all dumpster fires.
I was listening to SiriusXM NFL Radio. Rich Gannon was like, oh, they're AFC contenders.
And on paper, they were. Proof that games aren't played on paper, I guess.
But. No, no, not at all. I mean, listen, that was a weird 2022 offseason. Like, the Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill, and everyone's like celebrating and having their own Super Bowl parade that the Chiefs lost the most dynamic receiver in NFL history. The Raiders, they bulked up getting Davante Adams, which caused essentially Tyreek Hill to leave. And then the Chargers, they added a couple of key defensive pieces, Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson. We mentioned Russell Wilson already. Didn't matter. Chiefs go 6-0 in the division and they win the Super Bowl. Like, that's how, I mean, you just can't write off this Chiefs team. You just can't. Speaking of Tyreek Hill.
To quote Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. 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 Just quoting Daniel Bryan there.
Speaking of Tyreek Hill, he has generated some headlines. A lot of headlines, in fact. He opened up about a lot of things. I don't really know if the Miami Dolphins PR team likes this, but that's for them to figure out. He opened up about a lot of things. He actually talked about his head coach, Mike McDaniel, essentially calling him out after he got mauled by L'Jarius Sneed in that playoff game. He had the one touchdown, but other than that, he had a terrible game. But he did talk about the Chiefs quite a bit, praised Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, said Isaiah Pacheco is a good running back. But he took issue with one thing with Isaiah Pacheco. He said he feels, quote, disrespected because of the fact that the Chiefs gave the number 10 jersey to Isaiah Pacheco. Look, he also said that there should only be one 10 in your heart. Listen, I said this right away when the trade happened. There's nothing wrong with chasing the money. I mean, he wanted to get paid and he got paid. Good on him. If you do that kind of thing, you just kind of have to take that to the chin and say, look, I'm choosing to leave behind a very good team and make money elsewhere. By the way, he went to go play with quote, the most accurate passer in the NFL in Tua. Well, since then, the Chiefs are 7-0 in the playoffs, obviously winning the Super Bowls both years without Tyreek Hill. And meanwhile, the Dolphins are 0-2 in the playoffs. Oh, by the way, one of those two games was against the Chiefs. And before that, they had already played the Chiefs, and Tyreek Hill actually played a big role in the loss to the Chiefs when he fumbled. Not just a fumble taken back for a touchdown. It was a fumble, a recovery, a lateral, and a run all the way back for a touchdown. Look, I'll just say it, man, because it's safe to say Tyreek Hill regrets demanding a trade. It's just safe to say at this point. Go watch that interview at the NFL Honors or before the NFL Honors. He's like, the question was, do you wish you were still with the team? He's like, yeah, you know, I wish I was still with my boys. Like, okay, you clearly regret leaving Kansas City at this point.
I mean, by the same token, I'm sure every time he, like, you know, looks at the checkbook, yeah, there is that.
Listen, he went on Shannon Sharpe's podcast and he said that the disagreement was guaranteed money. Now, the Chiefs are never going to talk about this kind of thing because that's just not what teams do. Tyreek Hill, I mean, that guy, you know, he does not give a shit. He will talk about anything and everything. According to Tyreek, guaranteed money was the only was the disagreement that caused the trade. So I don't know how much more money like the differential was, and I get it. You know, every dollar matters to these athletes when they want big houses, big cars, jewelry, all that stuff. And listen, not that it's any of my business or anyone else's business. Tyreek Hill has a lot of babies, okay, with a lot of different ladies. That rhymed.
I didn't know that till this off season.
Yeah, I didn't either. And then his house caught on fire, which is a devastating thing. I don't know if you guys have seen, he actually did a tour of his house on his YouTube channel. It's actually a really nice house, especially the backyard. So that's not something, you know, anyone should ever have to go through. But that I'm sure, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to replace all those things, which he can do. But I guess, you know, at this point, yeah, sure, the money might have been worth it, but at what point do you just like let it go? You wanted the money. You made a choice.
Yeah, but that's like that's not how they're wired, man. You know, they want both.
Listen, man, I want a lot of things, but I just know like you can't get everything at the end of the day. Mark, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, from what it seems like, the Chiefs and Tyreek had a deal in place. Then Devontae Adams gets this huge deal from the Raiders, and that kind of messed up their plans. And then Tyreek's like, all right, I need more guaranteed money. The Chiefs are like, how about we trade you? He's like, all right, let's do it. And he regrets it. You can tell he regrets it. He could have had three rings by now with the Chiefs. He could have been, I mean, he's on pace to be a Hall of Fame player because he's still, you know, an incredible athlete and an incredible football player.
Yeah.
He's, you know, crazy yards, touchdowns, everything like that. But if he would have been with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they would have been a duo. I mean, obviously Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, great duo and everything. But to have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, go into the Hall of Fame, I mean, he'll probably still go into the Hall of Fame as the Chiefs. Maybe not. But to be with the Chiefs throughout your career, like Travis Kelce, like Patrick Mahomes, to win all the Super Bowl rings, to still get paid pretty close to what you're going to – maybe a tiny bit less, but it was going to be within just a couple million dollars. Like, it wasn't going to be that much more. He just wanted to be said that he was the highest paid wide receiver at that time, and he got it. He left. And now he's regretting it because he's not getting the rings in Miami and he's watching his homeboys get the rings and he's regretting it.
I'm just not sure. Like, look, I've never made the money that Tyreek Hill makes, so I'll never know what that's like. But, you know, when you think of all these like billionaires like Jeff Bezos, Taylor Swift, LeBron James, and if you say their annual salary is $30 million, but let's just say, you know, they have to, you know, give up a little bit. So they go from 30 to 25 million. Is that like a noticeable difference in the position of a millionaire? I don't know. I'll never know because I've never been in that position. If you're going to spend a lot of money on cars and houses, jewelry, all these things, then yeah, I guess there is a very noticeable difference going from 30 to 25 million. But again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. That's the choice you made. You kind of have to live by it. John is saying that he made a choice and he chose wrong. Listen, I don't think he chose wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with going with the money. I really don't. But just stick to your choice and just kind of live with it, man. You're not winning Super Bowls? Fine. You're making a shit ton of money that all 99% of the world wishes they had. Got pretty quiet.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with, man. It's just one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, not much to say about it, but it is sure funny to watch him continue popping off at the mouth.
Yeah. It's like, dude, like, just let it go.
I know his agent, you know, has to just be like, come on, man, all the time. Like,
I guess
it's Drew Rosenhaus, so he's probably used to this shit. But
very. Antonio Brown was one of his clients, so I'll leave it at that. With that, let's move on.
Yeah.
All of the headlines from Monday have been discussed, so let's go ahead and talk about the NFL draft because it is draft week, of course. So the Chiefs are kind of in an interesting position here. At number 32, Andy Reid kind of, you know, joked about this. The bad part about 32 is due to that you did well the year before. And I love how he used such a generic word like we did well. Yeah, did well to get the number 32 spot in the draft. I will say this. Let me just quickly ask to both of you guys. Zach, I'll go to you first. What position... Do you, as a fan, just speaking as a fan and what you would love to see, what position realistically at number 32 would you like for the Chiefs to go after? And do you have a name in mind?
So you said at 32, that's an important caveat.
Yes. Very important. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that at 32 drafting just as is, I think we got to go wide receiver just because like, as I look at our, look at our depth chart. There's only a couple of holes. And frankly, like receiver wouldn't be as much of a hole if it weren't for Rashee Rice deciding that, you know, drag strip highway, you know, same thing. sorry, that's not funny, but it's a little bit. So that's going to be a question mark. But it's either that or left tackle. That's the other one that like, I would love to see us trade up for a genuinely elite one. But I don't know that we have really the guns to go up and do that. So I'm going to go with, I think A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. You know, he's 6'4", ran like a 4.3 40. Really good hands. That's one of the things is I've been looking at a lot of these, mock drafts. I'm like, all right, wait a minute. What's the drop rate on this kid? Because I am sick of that.
Yeah. Mark. Yeah.
Troy Franklin, miss me with that.
Mark, do you have a position and a specific name in mind if the Chiefs do stick with the number 32 spot?
Yeah, I like Adonai Mitchell as well, if he's there. I know that he had a great combine, so some people are saying he might go a little bit higher. Xavier Worthy from Texas, both of those Texas guys, I really like both of them. Yeah. And a couple other guys I've been looking at a little bit, Keon Coleman from Florida State, good size, good hands. And
he can go up and get it.
Yeah, he can go up and get it. And then another guy that I've been looking at a little bit lately, I think it's Xavier Leggett. Is that his first name?
Yeah,
the kid from South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah. So I like – those four are kind of my end of the first round targets. I've seen some people talk about Ladd McConkey as well. I just feel like he's kind of more of a slot guy. I want somebody that can play a little bit more on the outside, maybe a little bit more versatility. Did you say
it open though?
Yeah, he
like,
can.
He's like, you know, I look at him a little like I did, you know, with Hunter Renfrow, the way that like before he got hurt, the way it was just like, how on earth you don't have the straight line speed. I mean, McConkey's got a little more of that. But he wasn't that big. And it was just like, all right, you clearly your footwork is just something different. You managed to be open all the freaking time. You know, that's a great talent. I mean, frankly, that's, can you imagine what Mahomes would do with another one of those?
That's true. That's so true. And just, I guess if they go with another position, if there's a left tackle that falls to them, I still think that they're really high on Wanya Morris. So we'll see what happens with that. But if they wait till the second round to go wide receiver, if there's a guy like Jalen Polk from Washington there, I know you didn't like Troy Franklin, but I like Troy Franklin all the same with the second round pick. Yeah,
in the second round, that's different. At 32,
A little high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with that.
He's a great athlete, and I think that he could iron out some of the drops. But yeah, in the first round, no. Second round, sure. Third round, yes. Yeah, shut up and take my money.
Chime in here because Zach, you mentioned A.D. Mitchell. Mark, the first receiver I think that came out of your mouth was Xavier Worthy, which I would be thrilled with either. I'd be more thrilled with Worthy, but either one I'd be very happy with. Here's my point. Just from looking at mock drafts, and I know mock drafts are not a true reflection of what's going to happen, but it is, you know, kind of a guideline a lot of people use. If a lot of these mock drafts are pretty accurate with receivers, I don't think you're getting Mitchell nor Worthy, Xavier Worthy, at number 32. Yeah. I think if you really want one of those guys, I think you're going to have to trade up. And I'll say this too, because when you look at the Chiefs and, you know, what options they have, I do agree with you, Mark. I do think that they have some high hopes for Wanya Morris. Would they maybe prefer a better option? Yeah, I think they're going to look out for that in this draft. But let's say the Chiefs do get a left tackle in the first round, and in the second round they go away from wide receiver and they decide to go for a defensive interior, defensive lineman in the middle. At that point, it's like, okay, you might not have a starting quality wide receiver from this draft class. Now, unless you have a guy like Puka Nacua, which, you know, again, kind of hard to know right away. But if the Chiefs don't draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds, I would almost bet that they would make an aggressive play to try to get Tyler Boyd. Do either of you guys think that's a possibility if they don't draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's a possibility, yes. But I think that it's still probably the most, I mean, the one thing that we know for sure that Veach will do is that he will see what the board does. Like, I'm sure he's got his eye on a few different guys, you know, whether like one of the most common ones that I'm seeing, like dropping in mock drafts. You know, you see actually like Jerjon Newton, the guy out of the defensive tackle out of Illinois. You know, he was billed as like a top 10 pick for most of the offseason. And then weirdly, he's just started to like trickle down into the 25s or even lower. You know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, same way, the cornerback out of Alabama, one of the cornerbacks out of Alabama, I should say. and, you know, if someone like that falls, Veach is going to go get him. Like, that's just what he does. You know, what we did with McDuffie, for example. Like, in, I think particularly as that pertains to McKinstry, like, you know, losing L'Jarius Sneed, while I think we're, you know, certainly prepared for it, you know, if you have a chance to get a talent like that, yeah, the only real glaring need we have on this team is, you can make the case for wide receiver or left tackle, depending on your opinions of Wanya Morris. And I think there's plenty of potential there. But when it comes to first round premier positions, those are kind of your two. And conveniently, it's a really deep draft for both of those. But I wouldn't be shocked to see Veach go up and, you know, if one of the, you know, tackles or receivers that he really likes slides down, just call it like 21, 25, somewhere thereabouts. I don't know who the teams are, so don't, like, I haven't thought that deep into this, but somewhere in that range, I wouldn't be shocked to see Veach go up and get his guy, whoever that might be.
Yeah, Veach made a very interesting comment because you brought up, you know, certain draft classes are deep, especially at wide receiver and left tackle. But then I think the specific number he mentioned was 37. He said around that pick is kind of when you see a lot of these guys go. So, yeah, it is kind of a deep draft class for a couple of those key positions, which the Chiefs happen to be in the need for. But again, his number that he threw out, the magic number, was 37. A lot of those guys are going to be gone. And we know the next time the Chiefs pick will be the end of the second round. So I think if you want someone, you got to trade up. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I could see, like, if a team like the New York Giants, who's picking, like, number five, I think they're picking six. Number five. Oh, they're six. Okay. Charging. So if they don't get a quarterback in the first round and then, like, a guy like Michael Penix Jr. or
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix from Oregon. If one of them is still sitting there and the Chiefs have their pick at 32, maybe they move back to that spot in the second round, pick up an extra draft pick. I don't know if they'd get a first rounder next year, and I don't know how that would all work. They'd get the second round pick this year, but they could move back, get some additional picks in the middle rounds to work with to either maybe trade back up into the second round again or something like that, where you could get a receiver there at 37 or whatever that number was there, 37, 38, yeah. Whatever it may be, and then have some extra draft capital. Just a thought that I had right there.
Let me throw out this possibility about trading up. Look, you have a lot of guys who are entering the final year of their contracts. So off the top of my head,
Harrison, like our entire interior defensive line.
Yeah, you have Harrison Butker. You said defensive. I think you meant offensive line. But
I mean, it's actually, when you come to interior, it's actually both. Aside from Chris Jones, and Joe Tooney technically has another option year.
Okay, and I didn't realize that. But anyway,
Creed's up for an extension.
You have Harrison Butker
for an extension.
Yeah, Harrison Butker, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. And then I think certain guys from the 22 draft class would be, I don't know if Isaiah Pacheco's on a 3 or 4 year deal. I mean, you got a lot of guys. Justin Reed is entering the final year of his deal. Here's another one. And I don't have his contract in front of me, but Travis Kelce. I don't want to pull a Mike Florio and act like I know what's going to happen, but there's also the talk about him possibly retiring, as he's kind of at that point in his career right now with his age. He'll be 35 in October. So you might, and listen, you'll retain a couple of those guys, I would imagine. Nick Bolton, another guy I forgot to mention. There are a lot of guys that are entering the final year of their deals in Kansas City. So my point is, why not go all out, do what you need to do to trade up, and start including next year's draft picks, because you have a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and 2 third-round picks, one of them from the Legarius Sneed trade. If you really want to try to sweeten the deal and try to make some moves to trade up to teams that are in potentially rebuilding mode, give them multiple picks in the first 3 rounds to try to move up and get the player you want, whether it's Mitchell, Worthy, whoever it is. I don't think they're going to go in the top 10 unless they're giving up something insanely ridiculous. But go all out. Try to get this three-peat, because after that, I don't think the Chiefs are going to win a fourth straight Super Bowl. I just don't see it. I think they'll be competitive, but I don't think they'll make a deep Super Bowl run. That's all I just wanted to say. Go all out. Do what you need to do. Get next year's draft picks involved for potential trades so you can go all out and get this three-peat.
Yeah, and if you're smart about the way you do it, if you're going up, especially for it depends on the sort of player that you're thinking here. There could be some premier talent. Like, if I don't know if the Chiefs actually have the bona fide draft capital to get all the way up to like a top 10 sort of a range.
No,
I'm not sure that they do.
No,
I'm assuming they probably don't. There's that whole chart that people use that I have not delved into that. I know it exists, but I'm not going to do that math. I think that I agree with you, Farz, on the desire to trade up and go get your guy, but it's a question of where, if that makes any sense. I would agree with you on most occasions, but if if we're giving away the farm, so to speak, to get up to like 17 for like a Brian Thomas, I'll be like, why?
I think,
especially with extra guys in the draft that you could get at the end of the first round, receivers at least. Mm-hmm. But I think I saw a mock draft with that draft chart where the Chiefs go to get, which I like Brock Bowers, but to trade up to number 10 to get a tight end, I'm just not certain about that. But they had to trade this year's first round pick and second round pick and fifth round pick and next year's first round pick. That's just too rich for me.
Yeah, the kid's going to be good, but like, nah.
Here,
nah, I'm out on that. Here, now, if we did it for like a Marvin Harrison Jr. or a Joe Alt, okay, maybe I'll be talked into that.
Yeah, and kind of like what you said earlier, those guys are going in the top 10, so it's unlikely you can get those guys or even Bowers. But here is the draft order of the playoff teams. So number 19, you have the Rams. 20, the Steelers. 21, the Dolphins. 22, the Eagles. 23, the Vikings. And 24, the Cowboys. I think if you want either of those Texas receivers, you have to move up somewhere between 19 to 24. And I just don't know, ultimately, if these teams that reached the playoffs last year, if they really want to make a deal with the Chiefs. Because Veach was asked a very interesting question, and I've kind of talked about this for a couple of weeks. Would you even want to make a deal if you're the Chiefs? Like, I guarantee you, Buffalo absolutely regrets making that trade with the Chiefs, because not only did they essentially give them Mahomes, they're the ones that have suffered immensely in the postseason when going up against Mahomes. Them and number two is Kyle Shanahan. So there's no way, like, if I'm a playoff team, realistically speaking, I don't want to deal with Kansas City. I'm just going to say, look, you guys can stay at 32. Whoever you get is whoever you get. We're going to get whoever you want. We're just going to keep them away from you.
The one team I could see is if the Vikings don't use that, what is it, pick 24, you say?
Yes.
23 is the Vikings.
Oh, 23 is the Vikings. Okay. Yeah,
so if the Vikings don't use pick 23 to move up to get a quarterback or whatever some people are projecting, if they still have pick 23, that might be a good spot to go, because the Vikings are a good team. They're not a great team. They're a playoff team. They have their receiver core is pretty set there. With Minnesota, they have really good receivers. They're going to have to pay their guy really soon. So that could be a spot where you jump up with a team that doesn't need a receiver, that isn't going to be trying to get a receiver, that you can maybe jump some of those other teams.
It's a very good point. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, the Viking. Okay, that's actually, yeah, you kind of sold me on that, Mark. I can actually see that possibility there. I don't know. I'm just thinking either the Vikings or the Cowboys. It would have to be an NFC team. Like, I can't imagine the Dolphins wanting to do it, because they just lost to the Chiefs twice, including in the playoffs. I don't know. It would have to be, you know, 22, 23, 24, where you have the Eagles, Vikings, Cowboys, maybe the Packers at 25, if you want to move up to get Worthy or Mitchell. Here's what I will say. I think Mitchell will go before Worthy. If Mitchell does go at, you know, let's say 22, I'm just throwing a number out there. I think that is when the Chiefs might start making phone calls and say, hey, let's make a deal.
Depending on what, I mean, the thing is, though, is that, like, it depends on what else is sliding. If receivers are all going that early, what other sorts of things are sliding down where you're going to get a premier talent at a, you know, position that's being neglected in the draft? That's a distinct possibility for us. I genuinely trust in Veach on this one. Like, he's earned that at this point. Man knows how to play the draft board. But I also wouldn't be shocked if he's not sliding up. I could see 19 at the Rams. Maybe 16 the Seahawks. Maybe. I don't know. Seahawks are a weird beast.
Let me just say this, because last year's draft, Bijan Robinson went number 8. And Jamar Gibbs went number 12 to the Lions, both good running backs during their rookie seasons. But we did not see a wide receiver get drafted until number 20. That was Seattle. They got Smith Nijigba. After that, you had four straight wide receivers go. Nijigba, my bad. You had four straight wide receivers go. So again, I'm not anticipating the same exact thing to happen, but Harrison will go. Odunze will also be early. Who is the other wide receiver that's expected to go like top 10, top 15?
So there's
Neighbors.
Yeah, Malik Neighbors, okay, Marvin Harrison, yes, and Rome Odunze. Those are your top 10 guys.
Yeah, so I think those guys will go in like the top 10 or top 15. But after that, when you start seeing Mitchell and Worthy, maybe Troy Franklin, if there's a team that really believes in him, maybe Leggett, like I can see kind of something similar to last year where you get like a string of wide receivers and like consecutive picks. And I kind of wonder if the Chiefs would try to be one of those teams, to get their guy. Cause if you can get Worthy or Mitchell, that's just huge for Mahomes, especially when Rice comes back from a pending suspension that we all anticipate here. It would be a much better receiving core this year than last year, just on paper. Now, as you said earlier, Zach, games are not won on paper, but that'd be very interesting to see. Okay, I think we kind of beat the hell out of the whole topic of trading up. Let me just ask this. Is there a player in the later rounds? Like, obviously, you know, we've seen the Chiefs get some really good players in later rounds. Obviously, Travis Kelce, a third-round pick. Jared Allen, a fourth-round pick. Dante Hall, a fifth-round pick. They've had some success. Trey Smith in the sixth round. Pacheco in the seventh. Do you guys think there's a player in the later rounds that the Chiefs could get and they could be a potential steal in the draft?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that, like, you know, later rounds, I mean, running backs have always been, you know, the sort of, especially of late, that's been something that's been hot in later rounds. I think Isaiah Davis is his name. The kid out of South Dakota State. I'll get the name right this time. But, you know, he's a kid out of Joplin, Missouri. He's an absolute stud. He cooked at, I mean, it was D2, but it was like the best D2 team for the last 2 years. So like it works. I could absolutely see him, crush in the seventh round. Or somewhere thereabouts. I don't actually know where he's projected, but somewhere thereabouts.
Mark, do you have a name?
Yeah, I've seen, I guess this was in my mock draft. I haven't really seen him mock to the Chiefs very much anywhere else, but in the fifth round, this guy from Clemson, running back Will Shipley, fell to me in the fifth round. And I don't know if he'll fall to the fifth round in the actual draft. You never know what's going to happen. But he's coming off an injury. I think he got hurt in the bowl game maybe or something like that. And he can do everything. He's like Jerick McKinnon, but, you know, younger, stronger, faster. He's that kind of guy. So he can catch it out of the backfield. He can be a guy that can run the ball straight up if you need him to. He can actually play special teams too. So he can do a little bit of everything. If he's there in the fifth round where the Chiefs can take him at pick 159, I think that would be a nice steal for the Chiefs because they brought back Clyde, but that's just a one-year deal. Pacheco, he's going to be your workhorse, but you need a guy that can fill in if he gets hurt. So I think Shipley would be a nice piece.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get a running back because, Zach, you and I have discussed this about Isaiah Pacheco. I think, you know, the Chiefs kind of regret the first-round pick with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But I think, you know, will they re-sign Pacheco? Because here's the crazy part with – I know the running back market is a little bit better this year than it was last year. But the running back market, with – the running backs not getting what they want, these veterans, that is kind of caused by guys like Isaiah Pacheco, who was drafted in the seventh round and has played pretty damn well in a pass-heavy offense, which, unfortunately for Isaiah Pacheco, it kind of screws him over because the Chiefs might say, hey, look, we might be able to replace you easily, whether this year's draft or next year's draft. So, yeah, going for a running back in the later rounds is interesting. And you make a good point, Mark. Andy Reid loves pass catching running backs like that. So that's an interesting name that I'll definitely keep an eye on for sure. I'll tell you one name, and I don't know if he's going to go that late. Third round is where he's expected to be drafted. I really like Patrick Paul from Houston. He's a really good left tackle. Yeah. Now his agent, I'll get to his agent in a second. I don't know who his agent is, but Patrick Paul, I guess he was quoted in an interview he did with I'll get to what I'm saying in a minute, but he basically said he's going to go in the first round. And it's like, wait a minute, why? A lot of mock drafts seem to have him going late second, early third, maybe late third, somewhere around there. But here's why he may have said that. One, His agent might have said, because a lot of these prospects, they're doing interviews, you know, with TV stations, radio stations, podcasts, wherever. So there is kind of a strategy when you do an interview where their agent might say, hey, not a lot of teams are interested in you. If you really want to be a first-round pick, say this. Or maybe there are teams that really are interested, and his agent still says, hey, you know, with all these teams interested, let other teams know in this interview that, you know, you're being seeked upon by all these other teams. There's always a weird strategy with this kind of thing, because even the agents are kind of playing a different game in this draft where they want to try to sell that, hey, my player's being looked after by a lot of these teams very closely. If you really want them, you better get them. That kind of thing. So I'm very curious to see where Patrick Paul goes, because he's expected to go third round. But I guess he and his agent seem to think that they're going to go in the first round, unless that's a smokescreen that they want to throw out there.
He is a pretty darn good pass protecting left tackle.
Yeah.
Just for what that's worth.
Here's another offensive lineman I'm going to be looking at in the third round, hopefully. How about a local guy from Lawrence, Kansas, Dominic Puni?
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
He can play all over the line. He can be left tackle. He can be guard. He can do whatever you want from him. And that's the kind of guy that Andy Reid really likes. He can kind of be your do-it-all guy, fill in if you have like a Wanya Morris get hurt or something like that. So that's a guy that I'm looking at pick 95 if the Chiefs don't have an offensive lineman picked in the first or second round.
Yeah, yeah. Him or Beebe. I don't know, is it Beebe or Beebe, the kid out of K-State? Like, those are very comparable players. You know, where it's, I mean, they're both, you know, fairly local. I mean, KU and K-State, respectively, but also, like, you know, Beebe's from KCK, and I think Puni's from somewhere in Missouri. I forget exactly where. But, you know, I think that both of those guys could be, you know, the absolute, you know, stereotypical Andy Reid interior alignment, where it's like, yeah, you can swing out and play tackle if we absolutely need you to. We're going to hope we don't need you to. They're Joe Tooney in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, that's a very high bar. I'm not going to say that they're going to be all pros like Joe Tooney. That's not what I'm saying. Simply just the, you know, positional flexibility that he brings to the table.
I've seen some people say BB might be the best guard in this draft, and he's projected to go like mid-second or something like that. So, I mean, if he slips down to the end of the second, let's go.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, these projections are always interesting because a lot of them is media projections. Do either of you guys know who Howard Balzer is? So I don't know off the top of my head what media outlet he's in, but he's one of the key guys for the Pro Football Writers of America. So I've had email conversations with him. Pretty nice guy. But I heard him on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and I think like one of the very first years that ESPN was going to broadcast the NFL draft, they were asking if they could use his mock draft as a reference. And mock drafts back then were not very easy to do because that was before the internet. And, you know, all the information we're seeing about guys, the interviews they do, the updates that come up, all these things, not to say that mock drafts are easy to do now, but you can be a little bit more accurate. Whereas like back then in the 80s, it was just impossible to even know, like you knew who the first two, three, maybe five picks were going to be. But after that, it was just a crapshoot because no one had the information that's available now. My point is kind of going back to the comment about that K-State guard that's expected to go in the second round. Here's another weird thing. There are a lot of teams, what we think their needs are, they may not feel the same way. Whoever, like if the Mel Kiper, who's supposedly like the most smartest draft guy out there, if Mel Kiper thinks someone's going to go in the third round, well, maybe there are a few teams out there that actually think that the player is a first round quality type of player. And by the way, I remember when the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, why did they do that? Well, two reasons. One, they like him. They really wanted him. Number two, they probably got word that someone else was working very hard to trade up to get him. I think Sean Payton did an interview once and he admitted that he really wanted Patrick Mahomes, and he was actually really pissed off because they were, I guess, close to pulling off a trade. at the 11th spot, and then the Chiefs just beat him to the punch at number 10. So, Veach, Veach was not the GM at the time, but that is kind of the game that you're playing as a GM. So, it's always interesting to see, like, when you see the word reach get thrown out there. Well, it's like, how do you know? Because there's a very good chance that another team wanted that same player, which is why Team X moved up to get him.
Yeah, it's just, I think that's, goes back to what you were saying there about, Patrick Paul and his agent, just trying to, create a little of that upward momentum, shall we say.
Yeah, again, not to say like all of these are irrelevant, and I don't want to use the term, take it with a grain of salt. It's just, these draft boards, again, they're nice to have fun with, to do the mock drafts. I know PFF has a great mock draft simulator. And again, they're a good reference. It's a nice guidance and all of that, but you just really don't know at the end of the day if the NFL teams themselves have the exact same board and all of that. So I'll leave you guys with that. Zach,
well, let's be honest. If we all knew what their board was, like, it probably wouldn't be as fun. And
that's true.
Let's be honest. These teams protect that like it's, nuclear code level state secrets, man. Like,
that's why I was. No one's talking about this, but that's why I was kind of pissed off at Rashee Rice. Well, I mean, obviously all the things he did was dumb, but he left his playbook in the car. Like, dude, you cannot let that thing just be out there like that. Not a lot of people are talking about that side of it.
An Andy Reid playbook, you can't. No, sir.
Yeah. I mean,
obviously it's not the worst thing that he did in all of that, but like, that's extra dumb. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. Mark, are you guys going to be doing anything like any draft special to write KCML or what do you got?
I don't think, we might have some special guest on Friday. We do a Friday feature special between 9 and 9:30 where we just bring somebody in studio. So we haven't decided yet what we're going to do for this Friday, but Chiefs guest might be good. So that might be something to look forward to. On Arrowhead Report, we're going to have everything covered Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, ready to roll with some articles there. This last week, I had a Taylor Swift article, which was kind of fun to write, talking about her, singing about Travis Kelce. But have my mock draft up on there as well if you want to go check that out over at Arrowhead Report. Awesome. A lot of draft coverage going on right now.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Best time of the year for that sort of thing.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys hopping on, talking about the Chiefs draft and all of that. And obviously, we got into some other news that broke today. I'm sure we'll be doing this again in the near future. So, Zach, Mark, I appreciate you guys. You guys enjoy the draft this week, and I'm sure we'll be texting one another as the picks unfold with our fireside chats. I appreciate all of you guys downloading and listening to this episode of the podcast. For those of you who watch live on Facebook and YouTube, appreciate you guys as well. I'll be doing one last podcast on Wednesday. That'll be my draft preview podcast. I'll have my Chiefs mock draft, and I'll go over each pick and why I have those picks. Also, backup picks as well. Did that a couple of years ago, so that was a lot of fun. So we'll be doing that. And then we will do a podcast as soon as the Chiefs make their first round pick on Thursday, so be on the lookout for that. And then the Red Friday live chat, that'll be Friday morning. Obviously can't do it in the evening because that'll interfere with the draft time, so that'll be Friday morning. So stay tuned for all of that. I'm Farzin Vasugian. Appreciate all of you guys downloading and listening to this podcast once again. I will talk to you all on Wednesday. Take care.